welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Stands before you and he holds all those things that you desire so much, because they're the things he wants to bring to you, that he wants to give to you. This morning I pray that if you've spent more time in your journey looking to the left and to the right, it's time to look down the center. It's time to fix your eyes on the Father. Fix your eyes on the one who gives greatness, who breathes greatness, who desires greatness in each and every one of you. Father, this morning we turn our eyes, we fix our eyes on you. Lord, we do see the greatness that you hold. Father, just the greatness that you've already created. But God, the greatness that you hold in front of us. The Lord, you breathe life into us for a purpose and for a reason. And that is that we would be great. We would be great in your eyes. We would be great for the kingdom. Lord, there's nothing that can contain you. There's nothing that can box you and keep you in. And Father, this morning we release our eyes to you. We release our eyes to you, Jesus. We're going to sing this chorus one more time, and this time make this your prayer.
No sky contains, no doubt restrains, all you are, the greatness of our God. I spend my life to know, and I'm far from close to all you are, the greatness of our God.
Sing one more time. Read those words.
No sky contains and no doubt restrains, all you are, the greatness of our God. I spend my life to know that I'm far from close to all you are, the greatness of our God.
Amen. Romans 8:38 says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons. Neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Church, these aren't just words that we sing. They're actually promises that our Father has given us. These are promises that we can sing about, and we can live, and we can dedicate our lives to. Because he loves us. There is nothing, did you hear that? Nothing that can separate you from his love. He loves you just the way you are. No matter what you've done, he loves you just the way you are. No matter where you've come from, he loves you just the way you are. Whatever your background is, he loves you just the way you are. That's a promise. That's something you can anchor your life onto. Amen? And so think about the words when we sing. These are His promises to us. We can hold on to them. So, Father, we are so thankful. We're thankful for Your promises. We're thankful, Father, that even though we may lack faith to believe in them, that doesn't change the promises for us. And so I pray, Father, that You would stir this faith up in us. Father, as we go about our days, as we face the trials in our lives, Father, that we can walk in confidence in knowing that there is nothing that can separate us from Your love. And that You will be there to guide each and every step that we take. And so, Father, I'm so thankful for that. And I pray, God, I pray for a revelation of that to take place in our lives. God, that we would get a true and genuine revelation of that. That would shake us to the very core of who we are. Knowing that Your love is the greatest thing. And nothing can separate us from that. So we're so thankful for that. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
All right. How are we doing, church? All right. Good to see you all. Open your Bibles to John chapter, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 9. First John chapter 4 verse 9. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. Brought to full expression in us. I want you to just think about this, and we're going to pray, is that God's love is designed to be in you, but brought to full expression to the world through you. So you're designed to encounter His love, but then you're also designed to bring His love to the full expression so people can know it. So like God's love is designed to grow inside of you, to expand inside of you and cause you to express His love in perfection and fully. That's cool. Come on. Somebody say, that's cool. That's cool. Okay. He has designed you to bring His love to the full expression to this world. He's looking to you to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. That God, Your word has the ability to change everything in us, to transform the way we think, the way we behave, the way, God, it has the ability to change our destiny and shape our destiny, to bring it into alignment with what You designed us for. God, we pray that today You will fill us with Your love. As Your word says in many places, that Your love can fill our lives and it can abound more and more. Not just what we had, not the portion we have, but God, we're asking for more and more of Your love. God, we want to be baptized in Your love, immersed in Your love. God, filled with Your love, spilling over with Your love. Do it today. God, let a tidal wave of Your love come over this church. In our hearts, God, it would spill over and create a massive love revelation and a love revival in our lives, around our lives, in our families, in our community, in our city. God, we love You, and we press into You today in Jesus' name. And everybody who believes it said, amen, amen. Pursue the love of God. If you've seen the vision statement kind of our church, it's not cliche. I don't believe that our church should be about anything else but pursuing the love of God. A passionate pursuit, not a passive acceptance of his love, but a passionate pursuit of the love that pursued us. It's a response. He loved us first. We love him back, right? He loved us first, and we respond by loving him back. But the coolest thing happens, the Bible shows us in this passage, and we're just going to work through the rest of 1 John chapter 4. We're going to work from here all the way to the end, and we're going to watch progressively how God, through the Apostle John, gives us this revelation about how when we bring God's love to the full expression to the world around us, what that does to us. It's beautiful. It literally changes everything. So we see here in verse 9 that God doesn't ever ask us to do something he's not willing to do himself. He's the love. He's the God of initiation. He's the God of love. He's a God that pursues us, that starts it first. And we don't love him, it says, because we love him because he loved us first, right? We don't just love him and initiate that love to him. It's a response. But God showed how much he loved us by sending his son into the world, right? And that through him and through his sacrifice, he taught us what real love is. That real love is a sacrifice. Real love is action. It's productive for the person receiving it. You see, when Jesus died for us, it's productive for us, right? And you can feel it. You can tangibly touch the productivity of his love toward us. You know, we did something that was really cool for some family members in our church, that their baby ended up in the hospital, sick from a virus, and it was serious, and they had to take their baby to the hospital. And we moved out of compassion for Aubrey and Justin Day and their little baby. We gave $3,000 to them. Isn't that awesome? But that's the kind of love that smacks you in the face. I mean, I saw Justin here sitting in the front row. He is so cute. Grown man, crying over a bucket of money. Ooh, tears running down into the bucket. That's awesome. That's real love. And that was a sacrifice. All of us who gave. And I saw almost everybody in this church come down and put money in there. It just filled all the way to the top. And that's a huge, tangible blessing. We're not just talking about loving them. We're doing it. That mattered to them. That changed their life. Like, they're looking at a young couple, young family, looking at a giant medical bill. And you know what? That changed their life. They're looking at, oh man, that might be the next 5-10 years of my life paying that off or something. I don't know how long it would take. But they encountered real love, real sacrifice. It was genuine. It was an action that impacted them. Your love needs to hit people. They need to feel it. You know, have you ever been hit by a rogue wave? You guys know what rogue waves are? Like, I was a commercial fisherman growing up in Nikiski. I grew up, you know, picking fish out of set nets, you know, and rogue waves, you'd be feeling these normal waves, right? They're moving, they're all the same. And then all of a sudden, here comes a sneaky wave. That's like twice as big as all the other waves. And you go, whoa, you know? You guys ever feel one of those? Hate waves, by the way. Waves make me throw up. Hate waves. But you know, when we are fishing, experienced fishermen, they've got a sixth sense for rogue waves. They're always paying attention to these rogue waves because the closer you get to shore, the more dangerous it is. Of course, the more wind there is, the bigger the waves are, the more the moon is doing whatever it does. Kind of weird, but it happens, right? Moves all the tides of the world around. And on these big, heavy tides with big winds, if you're not paying attention, you got some big waves, you can get messed up. And I remember this one time we're picking this net. We're going, and I mean, it's raining, it's dark, it's in like 1 a.m. in the morning, and we're picking, and we're getting hit by these waves, normal waves, and we weren't paying attention. We're just like really hating life. This is terrible. I'm tired, it's rainy, and the waves, I want to throw up, I am throwing up, right? Somebody better wash that fish before somebody eats it, right? So I remember this one time. We're working our way into the shore, and the normal waves are okay. And then all of a sudden, we get hit with this rogue wave, and we weren't looking. And boom, I mean, the boat comes up, hits the sand in the beach because it tips it up, and then the tide starts coming out, and we're like, plunk, and we're like all in the boat. Water's coming over, net. This is dangerous. I think in the Cook-In, it's like the fourth most aggressive tide in the world. You don't want to be in the tide in a big storm hooked into a net. It's pretty much time to be with Jesus when that happens, okay? It's pitch dark out. And I remember, man, we just barely tip over. I mean, like, we just barely come back. And the first thing we all do, nobody says anything, we just grab and we're just pulling like crazy to get away from the shore. Love. Real, genuine love is like what Jesus did to us. He hit us with this rogue wave when we weren't looking. And it's this irresistible grace that just washes in. Boom! When you're not looking, like, pow! It wasn't expected. And it tips your boat over, and all the bad stuff goes out, and he fills you with what he really wanted in there, right? Fills you with his presence, with his love, with his joy, with his mercy. When we love one another, we need to learn to love one another like a rogue wave. It needs to come out of nowhere. It needs to be real. It needs to be tangible. It needs to hit somebody upside the face. It needs to smack them, and they get it. They feel it, and they're sitting there crying over their bucket of money. Yeah, right? God said he wants to reveal this kind of love through you and I. He wants you to bring it to its full expression, right? Here's an illustration of love like a rogue wave. Love that just comes in and blindsides you unexpectedly. Roger Zerbe, when suffering from early onset of Alzheimer's disease, journaled to his wife after a particularly troubling bout with forgetfulness. "Honey," he said, "today fear is taking over. The day is coming when all my memories of this life we share will be gone. You and the boys will be gone from me. I will lose you even as I am surrounded by you in your love. I don't want to leave you. I want to grow old in the warmth of memories. Forgive me for leaving so slowly and painfully." Blinking back tears, his wife Becky wrote, "My sweet husband, I will continue to go on loving you and caring for you, not because you know me or remember our life, but because I remember you. I will remember the man who proposed to me and told me he loved me, the look on his face when his children were born, the father he was, the way he loved our extended family. I'll recall his love for writing, hiking, and reading, his tears at sentimental movies, the unexpected witty remarks, and how he held my hand while we prayed. I cherish the pleasure, obligation, commitment, and opportunity to care for you because I remember you." Whew. That's the kind of love that hits you like a rogue wave. It comes out of nowhere. Even though I couldn't give anything back to you, and I'm slipping away, you still would love me like that? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Make sure your love is unexpected. Make sure your love is so radical. It's so expressive that no one can miss it. It comes like that rogue wave that tips over someone's life in a good way, in a way of God's expression of love that is undeniable, that's unselfish, it's sacrificial, it hurt you, it costs you something. Look, this lady, losing her husband, it cost her. I've watched many people now in my life take care of their elderly loved ones and as they have Alzheimer's disease. And it's one of the greatest sacrifices I've ever seen in my life. It's unbelievable. unbelievable. It's truly the love that you give out and can never be given back in return. Do you know that when we express our love like this, that your love can really grow? Your love can grow. I don't know if I really realized this in my life when I was younger in the Lord, but it's real. Your love can really grow when we love one another with the love that God, you know, has given us and that is living in us. And His love, when it's being brought to full expression, that causes that exercise of our love for one another, in God, He responds by causing our love to actually expand. When you and I practice this kind of sacrificial love, it's like getting a love workout. You know, like when you lift weights, your muscles grow, and right you. When you work out your love, when you exercise your love, it begins to expand. It's amazing. Your capacity for loving will actually grow. It won't stay the same. It will grow. John 4, verse 13, and God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. Great promise. Right? Just pause right there as you just soak that in. Is that as you choose Jesus and you encounter His love and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you have the promise that God is now living in you. You're not chasing after Him and trying to find Him. He has found you. He has saved you. He is indwelling inside of you. When you want to find God, you find Him in you. When you've received Him. And that's a promise. And like Pastor Frank was sharing earlier, is that in Romans 8, nothing can separate you from that love. Verse 16, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. Wow. We have put our trust. When we choose Jesus, we choose to love Him, we're putting our trust in His love. Next words right there. God is love. Beautiful. Almost poetic in a sense. If I was a poet, then I would know it. And all who live in love live in God. This is beautiful. And God lives in them. This is so awesome. These promises we have to anchor ourselves to. We have to truly and fully understand is that if we put our trust in His love, we're truly, really putting our trust in God. We put our trust in God's love. We're putting our trust in God because God is love. And all who live in love live in God. These are synonymous. You can't do one without the other. If you're living in God, then you're living in love. If you're living in genuine love, you're really living in God because He is love. All the other types of love are fake. They're superficial. They're false love that are not genuine love. God is love. He has defined Himself that way, and all who live in that love live in God, and God lives in them. Great, beautiful promise. But first, we have to learn to put our trust in God. Many times it's been pushed around theologically that if we fear, we sin. If we fear, we sin. But if that's true, then Jesus sinned in the garden because He was afraid. And it says He was anxious. He was fearful when He was looking, pressing forward to take upon the burdens of the cross. And the key here about fear, guys, is that fear is not the opposite of faith. Fear is not, you know, the opposer of faith. Fear is a feeling that should drive us to need God. Fear shows us that we are mortal, that we have limits. We do not have what it takes to press through or succeed or make it, right? live, survive, whatever it is. Fear tells us really good things. It's a great communicator, and a lot of us experience it all the time. Some of us have major bouts with fear, and sometimes like real issues with fear. But fear, what Jesus did in the garden when he experienced fear, is he pressed into the Father. He pressed into love, into trusting in love. See, he trusted in the love of his Father for him. He knew that if he leaned on the Father, if he trusted in the Father, then the Father God's love would overcome anything he was about to experience. And he was right. So you and I, we need to be like Jesus, big surprise. We need to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Daniel. These brothers stood up for what they believed was right. And then when the whole world around them came down on them and said, "We're throwing you in the furnace. We're throwing you in the lion's den." They were afraid. I promise you, have you guys seen the Bible? The movie, The Bible yet? Man, if you haven't seen the movie, The Bible, PG-13, probably should be rated R. Okay. It's like, whoa. You know, I just read over that, but man, that was probably pretty bad. These guys, and then it shows it so beautifully in this movie, and it shows them, and they're like afraid. But they still did what was right, even though they were afraid. They knew what was going to happen to them. They stoke up the fire, and they're chucking him in there, and all they're doing is just crying out to God, "God, we trust you. God, we love you. God, help us. God, help us." And they throw him in. They're like, "Ah! You know? That's what we would have done too. We'll throw Daniel in there. He's like, ah, I mean, can you imagine how afraid we would all be? People would be harmed if a lion walked in here right now, untamed, unleashed. We'd be running for our lives, crying out to God. As he's getting the slowest one for his snack, right? Oh, I got my shoes laced up tight. It's not fear that is sin. It's not about sin at all. It's about relationship. It's about trusting in your God who made you, trusting in that he is a real loving Father, probably not anything like your real father. Maybe in some ways if you had good fathers. But a real Father who will never leave you. He'll never leave you alone. He'll never abandon you. And when you're in your time of need, he will meet you like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, even if we burn in the flames, we know our God is real and he'll meet us in heaven. Right? In your trial, in your fiery trial, in your den, your lion's den that you're thrown into, your challenge. Listen, fear is normal. God gave you that. God as a man experienced it. Jesus experienced it. It's where we go from there. Fear drives us to need of relationship and trust in the loving Father. When you're afraid, you run to trust. Right? Oh, and then God's love begins to expand and express itself fully. I tell you, Nebuchadnezzar turned his face to God after he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the lion's den. He said, anybody worships any other god but Daniel, they're going in there, right? Are the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Nebuchadnezzar, he is an interesting conundrum, right? This guy, but when he saw God, he turned his heart. And when people see you need God and God meet your needs, fill you with peace, fill you with this joy, you're expressing God's love more perfectly, and it's expanding in your life. Illustration of trusting God here, letting go of their children and watching them make their own way in the world is tough for any parent. But for Tresinda Fox, however, letting go came much too early in her baby's life. In December 2005, Fox's apartment building in the Bronx caught fire with flames engulfing her third floor bedroom. Fox was forced to contemplate the unthinkable as smoke billowed around her, Tresinda leaned out the window with her baby, and then she let go of her child. The infant tumbled three stories down to the waiting arms of Felix Vasquez, who performed mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on the baby until paramedics arrived. Moments later, Tresinda was rescued from the apartment, the firefighters, and returned and reunited with her child. Neither was seriously injured. Asked later about the painful decision to drop her baby from the window, Tresinda said, "I prayed that someone would catch him and save his life. I said, God, please save my son, and he did." And you know, God is really good. And trust is about letting go of something important to you. You right? Trust is about surrender. You're like, my life, my plans, my dreams. Please catch my baby. How freaky that would be. That would take a lot of trust. But Jesus said that he who wants to gain his life must lose it. But he who tries to hold on to his life, he's going to lose his life. So like if we try to hang on to the things that are precious to us, then we're going to lose what really is most important. See, that's not trusting God. And God is love. And trusting, really trusting in God, is full surrender of the things that are most important to you and trusting them with him. Ooh. Letting that baby go out the window. God, will you protect that thing? Even the prophetic words that God has spoken over you. Can I just say to us charismatics that sometimes we cling on to those things and God said I was going to be this. And in our mind, we have this timeline. We have this expression of how it ought to look. Now we just created an idol. We just created something that's more important than trusting God right now. Then we go fight for that thing. I'm supposed to be this. You go beat up other people and say, you know that I'm this and you know that I'm that. I got this prophetic word that said I'm supposed to whatever. Man, can we take the things that God has promised us and just drop them out the window and say, God, whatever you want, whatever you have, I trust in your love for me. I trust in your love for me. You got me. That thing that belongs to me, that's precious to me, if I let it go out the window, then however you really wanted that to look and shape out or take place, be it through my life or someone else's, whether I get to see it or just plant the seed for it and the crop comes up 100 years from now, right? Man, God, I can just trust you. I trust in your love for me. Man, can we do that? Can we challenge ourselves to grow in that type of love, to really surrender, to really let go and trust in him? And this is beautiful. It says that God is love. And in verse 16, it says, all who live in love live in God. We're called to live in love. Live in love. God lives in us. We live in him. And he's love. So we live in love. Live is life. Live is action. Live is not passive or a noun. Live is action. Right? Love is real action. Love is a verb. Sorry. Throwback to an old song, right? TC Talk, keeping it real. Love is a verb. If you haven't, YouTube it, man. It's good stuff. I got saved. Little side note. When I got saved, many of you know, I didn't grow out of a church or whatever, you know, grew up in a church. I didn't read the Bible. So DC Talk discipled me. Their music discipled me. Love is a verb. Remember that song? It's real action. And we're called to live in it. Life is real action. Most people's regrets are they didn't take enough risk. Did you know that? Almost every person in their life when they're dying and they have a chance to like think back and go, oh, what are my regrets? They say, I wish I would have taken more risks. I wish I would have lived more. Isn't that amazing? Live today. Come on. Don't waste your day today. Don't waste today. Let go today. Trust today. Live today. Live in love today. John 15, 5 says this. Jesus said this of himself. He said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do this. Actively remain in me. He's not talking about your salvation. Nothing can separate you from him when you choose him. He's saying, if you want to produce good fruit, if you want to experience my love to its fullest, remain in me. Have an active relationship with me. And allow my love to just permeate your entire life. Begin to trust me with everything and let go and sacrifice and express your love to others. Come like a rogue wave, a tidal wave to others. And you will begin to experience my love in greater measures. Remain in me. That all comes from that relationship with Jesus. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you have one with the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. It's beautiful. But we have to do this remaining, this abiding, this living in love. Psalms 1, verse 2 says this, they who delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night, chewing it, eating it up, spending time in the Word and meditating day and night, they are like trees planted along a riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their lives will never wither, and whatever they do, they'll prosper, or they will prosper in all they do. This is a beautiful picture between these two scriptures. There's other ones that we could draw out. They're all over the place. I would exhaust you and wear you out if I kept digging them up. But it's so great to think that we can have this relationship with him. We can get ourselves rooted by a stream of living water. The living God lives in us and causes us to experience his love and live into his love because of his relationship and what Jesus did for us. And when we activate that and we dig that up and when we begin to experience that relationship and it expands and it grows, we're like this tree that's tapped into this awesome stream that produces miracles through our life. The supernatural things through our life. A peace through our life. Joy through our life. Brings these tidal waves of rogue waves of love that just spill other people over. And they just can't even comprehend why or how you would love them so much. They encounter God's love as you are his ambassador for Christ. That's what Corinthians says. You represent him. You bring all of the authority and love that he has with you everywhere you go. And you're his ambassador. As if he was pleading to the world through you. That's what Corinthians says. It's very beautiful. 1 John 4:17. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Right there. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. If you're not living, actively growing your relationship with God and expressing it, your love's not growing. That means your love can lay stagnant. But it says, if and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. It actually expands. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Our love should be tangibly growing. We should be able to see it grow, feel it grow, know that we have experienced God's love and is perfecting his love, perfecting our love. We should feel his love, perfecting our love. The best example that I have of this in my own life is my love for my children. I've been a father for 16 years now. And I remember my oldest son was a little baby and growing up, and he started to get into that stage where he could climb out of the crib. Every parent's worst nightmare. Literally, because it happens in the middle of the night. Right? You're like, he's awake. He's like, poking on your forehead. Cute little things, man. In the daytime. Really cute in the daytime. I don't know what it is with me, but in the nighttime when I was young, especially because I was really young when I got married and started having babies, I was just a frustrated guy. Like I have two modes, on and off. 100% on, 100% off. Don't wake me up when I'm off. Don't touch me when I'm off. I'm not on, I'm off. Leave me alone. And I don't think Jesus was in me at nighttime during those seasons. Challenging the scriptures here. He was. He was trying to perfect my love. So I remember my poor little kid, he'd be scared at night. And I'd just be frustrated and kind of rough with him and like, oh, you shouldn't be afraid. Shouldn't him and shoulded him, you know. That's sad. Oh, poor Caleb. He'll get counseling. He'll be okay. And so, you know, as years have gone on, I've watched with my six children that as I got to my little baby girl, she's three now, and I've got these old ones who are driving and looking at graduating and moving out of the house and all this crazy stuff, right? And I'm looking at this little one that's still waking up in the middle of the night, afraid, coming into my room. And I've watched my love expand. She comes in the room, and I'm just as groggy. I don't have as much energy as I had then. I have way less. Less than half, I know. Feels like it anyway. And she'll wake up, and I'm like, oh, there she is. First thing I feel in my heart, oh, I love this little girl. First thing that happens in my heart, oh, I love this little baby. And I care that she's afraid. I'm not thinking about me anymore. When my son would interrupt me at night, I'm thinking about me. I got to work in the morning. I got this to do. I got that to do. He's in the middle of my rest. Rather than, I love this little guy's heart. And of course I do. But my love needed to grow and expand. And through all the years of God teaching me and challenging me and me having to express that love, it's expanded. This is like three nights ago. Little girl walks in my room and she's like, Daddy, I'm scared. I'm like, come here, baby. Just crawl up in bed. Crawls up in bed. We're cuddling. And she looks at me like, my daddy loves me. Then we wake up in the morning and she looks at me like, like she's so cute and she got away with something at the same time. We'll go to sleep with mom and dad, you know. It's awesome. I missed out on all those with my older kids. That grieves me. Because I like haul them in and chuck them in bed, throw them over, don't get out. And I'm like, oh, I was scared then, I'm really scared now. You're like, I'm a good dad, woo, you know. A lot to learn, a lot of love to expand. But as we live in God, as we love in Him, His God, His love grows and is made more perfect. We got a lot of growing to do, church. We got to make sure that we're active every day, living in God and letting His love express itself through us. We've got to give our love away. Give your words away. Men in this church, give your words of affirmation and affection away. Even though you're afraid. And it's scary because your dad didn't do it to you. And you think it might challenge your manhood and check in your man card. You won't. You're going to learn to be a real man when you really learn to really love. Our Father really loves. And He's our Father. We need to follow His example. Man, let our words come out. Words of praise and approval. Forget about your disapproval. Take 1 month of your life and have no critical things to say of a person. Fix nothing in a relationship. Men, I'm talking to you. Look at me. Fix nothing in your relationship. Listen and love. Give your life and your words away and see what happens. See what happens in the hearts of the women around you and the people around you, your children. Give your love and your life away. You'll never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Withhold every criticism. Can you do it? It's your pastoral challenge for the month. The month. If you don't do it, you won't grow. If you don't exercise your love, it won't grow. It'll stay the same. And that's not what God has destined us for. He's destined us to be his masterpiece, to be made beautifully in him, and to express his love fully to the world around us. God's called us to genuinely love one another, and he commanded us to love those who love God. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. And we find this in the next passage in verse 19. We love each other because he loved us first. Someone says, I love God, but if someone says, I love God, but hates his Christian brother or sister, that person's a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their Christian brothers. Wow. Love one another. Love one another, right? This is a big deal. God's called us to love one another. And he commanded us to love those those who love God must also love their Christian brothers. Wow, that's challenging. We think about loving our enemies and loving other people. But God said we got to love each other, people that we actually have higher expectations for. Do you know it's hard to love somebody you have really high expectations for? No? Am I the only one? When we create this bar that's so high and it's perfect, and then they don't reach it, we get disappointed. And the gap in between where we thought they ought to be, but they only ended up, that's the measure of our disappointment and disapproval. And it's really hard to love people when we create these perfect icons of them. Again, idols. We put them before our relationship. We've got to cast those things down and learn how to love one another, especially those that have a higher calling, that have a calling to be like Jesus, all of us. We read all the things the Bible says we ought to do, but the greatest of these is love. All of the commandments hang on these things. Love God, love other people. That's it. That's it. It's all caught up there. But if we create these idols and these big things that we think people ought to be, and they don't measure up, then our world is always falling down. When people don't measure up, our world falls down. If we're putting our trust in people and our relationships rather than our God, whom is perfect and will never let you down, then all of a sudden we lift them up and they let us down. We go through this mad cycle, this crazy cycle, where our lives are just always continually just, like a sneeze, it'll never come out. It's frustrating. It's disappointing, right? You don't have to live in disappointment. You can live in love. You might be thinking, did the Apostle John just call me out? Did he just call me a liar? Yep. Yes, he did. Apostle John, he was hardcore, man. He just let it fly. He said, this is simple. If you say you love God and you treat people badly, you're basically a liar. Because God is love and you're living in God. Telling people that you really love God, and God is love, and you're saying, if I love God, I'm living in love. I'm living in God, and living in God is living in love. And then you hate them. This makes no sense. John is just calling like it is. Look, you're just lying. You're just lying that you're really living in love. You're not really living in love. You really hate them. Okay, just tell them the truth. I hate you. I'm not living in love. I'm just struggling. I hate you. Okay, that's not good. Well, at least don't be a liar. Don't just fake it and pretend. Everybody can see that. Everybody can feel that because love is genuine action. It's a rogue wave. It actually makes people's lives better. It impacts their life. John is saying just simply, just live in love and allow your life to come out in every way. Allow the expression of love to come out of your life to touch people, to impact people. And if you see that you're actually hating somebody, you're not living in love. And don't pretend like you are. Just own it. He's just saying, just own it. Don't live in a lie. Don't deceive yourself. Worst kind of lie. Deceiving yourself and not being in denial, not seeing what issue you really genuinely have. We're going to close with this scripture. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Can't talk about love like this. I can't anyway. And not read this fantastic passage about what love really is. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but did not love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. It's great. God, let that love grow in my heart. Yeah? Let that love grow in my heart. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, kind of closes this part of the chapter, really, and says, let love be your highest goal. Isn't that great? Let love be your highest goal. So my challenge to you is this. Allow God to expand your love. Love others. Allow your love. Your love should be tangibly growing. We should be able to see it grow, feel it grow, and know that we've experienced God's love. God's love perfecting our love. We should feel God's love perfecting our love. Right, church? Will you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you that there is nothing like your love. God, we're asking that you would fill us to overflowing, cause your love to abound in our hearts. God, we need you. More than anything, we need our relationship with you. And God, we just cast our cares and our fears and our worries on you. We take our fear, God, and we run to you. We take it, God, and we run to trust in love. Trust in who you are. We need you, God. Let our fears expose our need for you. And God, let us run to you. God, I'm believing that your love is going to expound in this church. Your love is going to expound in each one of our lives and cause us to really sacrifice of ourselves and give our love away when it's unexpected, in a powerful way where it's undeniable and where it just tips people's boats over and just causes them to encounter you. God, let us be the full expression of your love. Let us be able to express your love fully to those around us. Thank you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, church. You're beautiful.
We love you.
Oh, come on now. You're beautiful. You're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. Let your love abound. Express your love as you go. I love you. If you want to receive prayer for anything, please come forward. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, please come forward. Have a fabulous day. Love people so much it gets warm in Alaska, right? Come on now. Do something about the weather for me, for your pastor. God bless you. We'll see you next week.